Now, what are the challenges in front of engineering and maintenance department in a hospital? One is lack of proper system effectiveness and integration. There are going to be limited number of engineers in a hospital because it's mainly the technical staff are in the form of doctors, paramedical staff, nurses, etc. So proper system effectiveness will be a bit difficult, and integration of all the services where the doctors, nurses do not understand the importance of engineering services much because they are not exposed to those technicalities, and hence one has to integrate everything so that the optimal use of all the services with proper maintenance should occur at the same time the functioning of the hospital services, technical services, etc. also should go on smoothly. It becomes a bit difficult. System effectiveness should ensure that the system operates as designed. If your systems are effective, then it will ensure that all the systems that you have made, you have thought a lot about designing this system, so it should be functioning as per the designs you have made. You have to have a constant need for problem solving by building operators, often resource proper system and equipment maintenance. At times people are a bit lazy, they do not bother much about the maintenance of the equipment. At the last moment when the breakdown occurs, then they run helter and skelter, and that resource the proper system to be followed. So standard operating procedures are not maintained properly and not ensured. There can be snowball effect, in which system and equipment is going to degrade when proper preventive maintenance is not done. Every time we go for breakdown maintenance, reactive maintenance, then what will happen? A lot of wear and tear can occur because proper servicing is not done, proper maintenance is not done, and hence it will lead to more problems in future, and sometimes a total breakdown may occur whereby you may have to buy a new equipment altogether, and which will be very costly. So one has to be having a strict maintenance schedules maintained and enforced, because at times when you have got the annual maintenance contract with the service provider also, once they get their money at the beginning, they are least bothered about regularly coming every 4 months for servicing your equipment unless you follow up with them periodically and see to it that they are doing. Otherwise, maybe instead of 3 services in a year, they may do 1, and ultimately your servicing of the machines, maintenance of the machine is going to suffer because of that. Now, what is the scope of hospital engineering and maintenance? They look after civil assets, all the building, construction, annexes, wings, gardening, etc., landscaping, electric supply they look after throughout the hospital, water supply including plumbing and fittings, central medical gases, so oxygen, carbon dioxide, nitrous oxide, water vapor, the suction machine, lifts and dumb waiters, public health services, lighting protection, structured cabling throughout the hospital, communication system in the form of public communication, in the form of intranet, internal telephoning services, and external also, then television, piped music system to soothe the patient's mind. Pipe music system also may be maintained by the electrical department. Non-conventional energy devices like rain harvesting, solar lanterns or solar machines, etc. Then horticulture, landscaping, there may be workshop facilities for repairs and maintenance of various equipments and machines, lifts, etc. Assurance of quality for the structure of the building, that the right quality material is used based on the environmental conditions in that area, right kind of plastering is done, right kind of waterproofing is done, so that there is no leakage. At the same time, for AC and all also, every corners has to be taken care of, whereby the leakage of the air also should not occur, so that it will be more energy efficient. So the structure, and for the structure of the CT scan, MRI, etc., one has to take the help of the statutory requirement by AERB. Then manpower, you should have the right skilled, experienced manpower with right kind of qualifications, who are registered with the recognized authorities in the form of doctors are registered under the medical council, the nurses are registered under the nursing council, your hospital is registered with the BMC authorities or the local authorities under Nursing Home Registration Act. Your sonography machine is registered under PC and PINDT Act, and the regular follow up is done, and see to it that whenever you are supposed to, when the registration is for 3 years, again 15 days in advance you have to re-register it regularly. Then all the equipments quality should be maintained by having the latest equipment with right kind of quality assurance given by the manufacturer, regularly being serviced and maintained. Availability of all the material and spare parts whenever there are chances of any breakage or breakdowns. As far as the quality of process is concerned, you should be having a documented manual for quality assurance, and preferably you can have the ISO 9001:2008, you can have NABH, National Accreditation Board of Hospitals, or you can have JCI, Joint Commissioner International, or JECO. When you have got such kind of accreditations with you, it means your quality assurance is there for the structure, for the process, and for the outcome per se. And hence, you are going to take care of all the quality assurance. You have to do plant preventive maintenance. You have to see to it that all the statutory requirements are complied with. You have to manage your equipments in such a way that there is proper preventive maintenance done. Everybody knows how to operate these equipments and how to minimize any wear and tear of these equipments. And one should be able to judge any abnormal sound or something coming from the equipment, whereby one can know that there is some problem and immediately call for the engineers to correct it. Then safety of environment and facilities has to be taken care of by having the right kind of safety instructions displayed, people being trained regularly, and behavioral based safety programs can be given so that the attitude of people becomes right. I have seen in some places they keep a board near the mirror, near the wash machine. You are looking at a person who is responsible for your own safety. So you can understand, safety is not the function of only the safety engineers, it is the function of each and every individual in a hospital. So one has to take care of the safety of environment, safety of all the facilities individually, and of course safety engineers are going to guide you, they are going to train you. Then the portable water supply, which is drinkable, which is properly filtered if required, reverse osmosis if required, ultraviolet rays are passed through it like AquaGuard, bacteriologically it is zero bacteria, the right kind of minerals are there, there is no odor, It is absolutely clean and clear. There are no suspended particles in that, so portable water supply. And one should send these water samples regularly to the chemical laboratories to confirm that they are portable. Periodic cleaning of AC ducting should be done, otherwise it also can lead to some of the diseases for respiratory system and all, or some fungal problems for the skin. So AC ducting and filters have to be regularly cleaned, maintained. Maintenance of the fire safety equipment should be perfect. One should have sufficient number of fire extinguishers and people should be trained how to use them. There should be fire mock drill, there should be fire exits available, and people should know from where to go in case of fire. They should not use a lift, they should use only the staircase, and there should be a collection point in case of a major fire, which should be communicated to everybody. Then identification of hazards and its prevention. One should know what are the various hazards likely to be there in a hospital in the form of fire hazard, in the form of any injuries, in the form of biomedical waste hazards, nosocomial infection, injury due to sharps, hepatitis B, HIV, and communicable diseases, etc. So one should know what are the hazards and how you can prevent it. So training of staff regularly, and everybody should be covered under insurance, because the cost of medicines, cost of hospitalization for your own staff also can be huge. So one should have the proper insurance coverage. And secondly, in case somebody is, some doctor or some nurse, what treatment he has given to the patient and the patient goes to the court for medical negligence, then also compensation can be there in the lakhs. And hence, if everybody is covered under insurance, it will be better for the hospital to function in future. They should carry out the structural survey of hospital in view of National Accreditation Board of Hospitals and Health Management standards. They should provide safe water, electricity, where proper earthing is there, right kind of plugs are there. There is no tripping wires hanging around. Everything is being cased properly. Medical gases, proper coding is there for all the gases so that there is no chance of any mix-up. Vacuum systems, proper plans for fire and emergencies to be taken care of in case it occurs. Smoking limitation policy, nobody should be allowed to smoke in the premises of the hospital. Plan for management of hazardous materials, some chemicals, some drums, some paints, some gases, various things can be there which are hazardous materials. So one should have the proper place to keep them, to stack them, and people should know how much to store, what precautions to take, to be taken. It should be in an isolated place. There should be safe and secure environment and energy management or energy conservation policies for your hospital, which should be displayed and communicated to each and every staff of the hospital and even community. What are the various services of building and AC that is to be taken care of by the engineering department? The floors should be non-slippery even if it is wet, so that there are least chances of somebody slipping and then falling, leading to fractures and sprains. In a laboratory, especially where multiple chemical agents, reagents are there, so they should be the walls, the floors, the work benches should be acid, alkali, solvent and stain proof as far as possible. Radiology with standard load of 2000 kg per square meter as per the statutory requirement should be there. Conductive floors should be there wherever electronic equipments are needed. And the skirting also should be covered properly so that it is safe. Ramps, there should be gradient not greater than 1:10, so that the wheelchair or any other equipment, conveyor belt, etc., when it is passing on it, doesn't suddenly rush with a speed which can lead to toppling of it or which can lead to injury to the patients around or the staff around. Corners of operation theatre should be rounded so that there are less chances of any dirt, dust, bacteria, etc. being deposited on it. The flame should be slow in laboratory, and there should be protective guards available for all moving machineries or all kinds of machines wherever there are chances of any injury. There should be laminar flow, especially in the operation theatres where the air is cleaned through HEPA filters. The ceiling should have minimum retention of dust particles in operation theatre. There should be isolation rooms for patients with highly communicable diseases, HIV diseases, HIV affected patients. Sterile processing rooms should be available. Monolithic ceiling in psychiatric ward should be there to prevent suicidal attempts by the psychiatric patients who are either having high anxiety or they are schizophrenic or they may be having endogenous depression. There should be 16 centimeter concrete wall for X-ray room so that the X-ray doesn't penetrate this wall and then come out of it to adversely affect the people around. As far as the floors and walls are concerned, which are penetrated by pipes, ducts, conduits, they should be tightly sealed so that there are hardly any entry of rodents or any insects, so that the hygiene of the all the premises is maintained properly and the nosocomial infection, vector-borne infections can be prevented. Expansion and seismic joints should be constructed in such a way that it will restrict the passage of smoke to go out of it and then lead to suffocation for people outside. There should be emergency access available and it should be clearly marked, so proper signage should be there. Door should be 215 centimeter wide so that it will lead to easy passage for the wheelchair to enter, and the OT should be having a two leaf door whereby patient's stretcher can easily come out. Patient toilet door should always open outward so that in case a patient collapses inside, if you are going to have the toilet door to be opened inside, it can crush the patient inside. Elevators in groups of two or more should be there where the car size is 150 centimeter wide, 230 centimeter deep, and car door is 120 centimeter wide and 215 centimeter should be the height, so that you can easily transfer a patient along with the cot and some of the additional smaller machines or IV sets, etc., to transfer the patient from ICU to ward, or from ward to ICU, or from ward to operation theater, etc., or from ward to any investigative procedure for CT, MRI, etc. There should be a fire lift which should be exclusively used by firemen in case of fire if it occurs. Now, what are the important aspects of the air conditioning system in hospital which the engineering service people are going to take care of? It is required for ventilation, so proper ventilation should occur at the right humidity, at the right temperature. People should be comfortable where they are working, and it should be bacteria free. So it requires for ventilation and filtration to dilute and remove all the contaminants in the form of airborne microorganisms to prevent nosocomial infections. Viruses, it should be odor free. There should not be any hazardous chemicals or radioactive substances in the air, so it should be filtered. It is required for operating room, labor delivery suits, ICUs, nursing, morgue, and autopsy rooms. these are the bare minimum places where proper air conditioning system should be there. If the whole hospital is centrally air conditioned, it is better, but at least those hospitals where central AC is not there, one should have AC in operation theater, in laboratory, in autopsy room, in morgue, in ICUs and in labor where delivery suits are there. There should be proper air conditioning, which is helpful in prevention and treatment of diseases, because then nosocomial infections can be prevented. Overall, the patient is much more comfortable in that kind of restricted humidity, restricted temperature, and the air being filtered properly. The control of air quality and air movement should be there, and periodical checking of this also should be done, so that when you do the analysis of the air which has entered the room and air which is coming out also, to know what is the air quality and how many air movements are occurring, whether they are as per the standards given by the air conditioning system of the regulatory standards. Direction of airflow should be from clean to less clean areas, so that there is no reverse flow of any suspended particles and microorganisms going to the clean area. Air flow rate should be 0.28 to 0.47 meter per second. This is actually desirable across an open door, so that the backflow into the clean area will not occur. So that the airflow, when it occurs at this speed, it will prevent the backflow going to the less clean, back into the cleaner area from the less clean area. Now, cooling should be done of the air naturally, because outside many times it is too hot. In Bombay, we know it is practically 9 to 10 months where it is more of summer and lot of humidity is there. So, cooling as well as dehumidification of indoor air is required for thermal control, and hence air conditioning is very, very essential in cities like Bombay. Any form of cooling, heating, ventilation or disinfection that modifies the condition of air will help us in having the right kind of airflow in the hospital patients to be comfortable and to prevent the nosocomial infections. It uses refrigeration cycle or evaporation. The system, if we see, there is assembly of components for the treatment of air in the AC unit. It also controls the temperature, and we can maintain it at 22 to 25 degrees centigrade. It controls the humidity, which should be around 45% to 50% at the most. It also cleans the air, whereby all suspended particles are removed, even the viruses and bacteria can be minimized, and the distribution within the air conditioned space is occurring in a uniform way, whereby people will remain comfortable while they are undergoing any treatment or while they are working for staff also. So, this is the diagram of the hospital air conditioning system. This is the heavy load on central AC in a hospital, you can see, whereby on the cot the ducting is there, and from this outside air is going out. So, what are the applications of air conditioning in a hospital? One is, it will give a great comfort to the patients as well as to the relatives and the staff of the hospital, which will lead to highest performance of the staff at 22 degrees centigrade if we see. The process is, if a patient is undergoing open heart surgery, then 18 degrees centigrade is ideal. For neonatals, 28 degrees centigrade is ideal. For pharmaceuticals, you need high degree of air cleanliness the right humidity and the optimum temperature control to be maintained, so that the potency of the drugs injections etc. will be maintained properly. Some of the vaccines also need a specific temperature control, and humidity also should be controlled. In the laboratory also, the temperature, humidity, air quality and air motion should be optimum to prevent any degradation of the various lab reagents, various laboratory tests, kits etc. And hence the right kind of air quality monitoring should be done for air conditioning that is there in the laboratory also. Now, what are the various benefits of air conditioning system? As far as the health consideration is concerned, it will restrict the air movement in and between different departments, whereby it prevents the cross of infection from one department to the other. So, prevents nosocomial infections or hospital acquired infections. It will ventilate properly so that sufficient number of air changes are occurring. So, a person will be not suffocated, he will be comfortable. It will filtrate to remove the odor so that the stinking odor will not be there because of the sweat of the people around or any other suspended particles and any other gases which may be around. So, it is going to filtrate to remove odor. Even airborne bacteria, viruses, hazardous chemicals and radioactive substances will be removed by these filters, whereby the patients, the staff, all of them will not get any hospital acquired infections or any radioactive problems in future. There is a highest level of hygiene and indoor air quality maintained, which will combat the growth of bacteria. So, whatever few bacteria are there, they are not going to multiply and then infect the people around. And if they are in very low quantity, then we are having sufficient immunity to take care of that. Then as far as the environmental control is concerned, the proper air conditioning system will monitor and maintain adequate temperature and relative humidity in such a way that the people around in the hospital will be very comfortable, and there will be a laminar airflow in the operation theater where HEPA filters will be used, so that the sufficient number of air is passing in such a way that there are least chances of any contaminating bacteria which can get deposited in the open tissues of the patient who is getting operated. Now, what are the various types of AC equipments available and used in the hospitals? One is window ACs and through wall units. Here they vents on both the inside as well as outside. So, inside air is to be cooled, can be blown in and out by a fan in the unit, while outside air can be blown in and out by another fan to act as the heat sink. This is how the mechanism of AC may be there in case of window AC. There are evaporative coolers whereby the water is evaporating and it is cooling down the temperature of the inside, which is especially in dry climates, this kind of mechanism is more beneficial. Then there are absorptive chillers available to absorb certain particles and cool down. There is central air conditioning where they are using the ducts to distribute the cool and dehumidified air where the machine outside is doing the function of cooling it, the function of filtering it, and then sending it through the ducts inside the premises of the hospital, and people remain more comfortable. Advantages is, since the machine is outside, there is no noise generated within the premises of the hospital, where people are taking rest, they need sleep, or the staff are functioning at their optimum with multiple functioning they have to do because of the excessive workload in the hospital many times. So the advantage is they'll get filtered air as well as the noise will be very low.